Hey everyone, welcome back to the Good Grow Great podcast. I'm Talia Toha and this is 6 Degrees of Greatness. This is the segment where we sit down with 1, 2, 3 different people from different backgrounds, different industry, different spaces, different inspirations and different source of motivations. And we talked to them about what's worked with them in the past. We talked about things that maybe didn't work with them in the past, right? And then that way, whatever it is that we talk about, you can then take home as a beautiful source of inspiration to maybe either tweak your work, move on and continue to advance with whatever it is that you're trying to do in your life and work, or maybe pivot and change up a few things and introduce certain things that you maybe didn't think about because you haven't heard from this and that person's experience. So that's why today I wanted to bring to you 3 different people, and I actually talked with them, and this was part of a live workshop, I should say, and we talked to a number of other people. But for this episode, I want to highlight 3 different stories, and predominantly because I'm a big believer in being able to learn from various different spaces. And creatively, that's actually, I think, the reason why some people are super, super successful in their purpose and mission versus those who only take notes from essentially linearly, right? And people who are just in their space. When you embrace and encourage the thought process that kind of comes up and happens when you look at different sources, it becomes so, so interesting how you can really create some massive changes, not just in your business and work and career, but also in your personal life. And I think this is why this is really, really important to me. Now, as you guys know, my mission on this Good Grow Great podcast is really to shine light on small giants, big giants. It doesn't matter if you're just starting out or people you're already like 10 years ahead. I think when you're 10 years ahead, there's always use when you kind of go back, brush up the basics and maybe find out, oh, this is something that's new that people are doing. Or when you are new, it's always useful to pull from various different informations and really make an educated decision on how you want to move forward or not move forward, right? And so that has been my life's mission, is to essentially be able to share the stories of small giants. And I would say this again, because I've said this a number of times on my podcast, is that I really don't believe that you have to be a big name to make a big impact in your lives and in the lives of others, really. So I really do believe that anyone can be a small giant. So with that said, I want to welcome you to the podcast. I'm hoping that whatever work that you are trying to achieve today is going to be all the more enriched with this interview. And whether you're out and about running errands, you are walking around in the house or in the car, be sure to hit follow, add, subscribe, or collect for this episode and for the show. That way, when you're out and you don't have cell reception, you have it ready to go and you can pick it up right where you left off. So, Grow Solvers, let's dive in and we'll talk to you in just a second. Donald here is an executive coach, and he had spoken in front of 5,000 people virtually, which is an amazing accomplishment. Just a round of applause for Donald, right? And again, you know, Donald, it seems like Donald, you're kind of in the corporate circle, right? And again, even if you're not in corporate circle, we still want to learn from each other and find out, okay, what's Donald's doing that we can perhaps learn from and adapt and adopt? So Donald, if you're here, please go ahead and unmute yourself. I did see Donald.
Hi, Talia.
Hey,
Talia.
How's it going?
Thank you for having me.
I love that. What's that hashtag behind you?
Oh, that's my company's hashtag logo here. Yeah.
When learning. He's prepared. This is why Donald spoke in front of 5,000 people recently. So why don't you share with everyone how that opportunity came about? Because I think for most people, this is such a blessing to be able to do so. And even if it's by invitation, corporate or otherwise, was it from a personal relationship? What were some things that was happening in the background?
Well, actually, I didn't know the organizer at the beginning, but what I was asked was I was asked to volunteer and help out other organizations and other associations. And as a result, they recommended me to this organizer of the event, and they said, hey, would you like to come speak to a group? I said, okay, sure. What's the topic going to be about? And they go, well, can you help them to understand what empathy is about? I go, nah, I'm not really empathetic enough. So, but eventually it all materialized, and we got to get together, and we got to speak to a global audience. And I have to say, if that was 5,000 people in the audience, that was probably a very quiet 5,000 people because it was very virtual.
Oh, wow. So everyone was, well, and this is the thing, because I think there's a lot of question. A lot of people here come from niche businesses, right? Some of you guys who are in the outdoor space, you know, welcome. I love that you guys are kind of niching down, but there are still some who are joining us today and have this broad audience, right? And want to kind of target and share this broad audience. So coming into your speaking opportunity, what were some considerations that went through your head as far as addressing basically 5,000 people who come from all these different backgrounds? Were you kind of targeting specific topics? Were you kind of a little bit more general? Walk us through a little bit of that step-by-step process there.
Well, the audience, what I understood from the background was they wanted to increase their business, accelerate their startup, or maybe climb the corporate ladder. And what we do find right now, as you said before, 2020 has been a very abnormal year. But one thing that you did find is that, I mean, for example, in my case, there was 5,000 people who wanted to get together and still socialize and still connect. Yes, we do have these obstacles currently right now, but people are still emotional and social animals, and we still want to connect. We still want to talk. We still want to socialize. And given that, I said, so how can we make use of that socialization, that emotion, to better understand, better relate to other people? And at the underlying of all that really would be empathy. I guess in today's times, especially with all these challenges that we're going through, and to better understand and to empathize with other people's feelings, what they're going through, to show that we care, that builds better relationships socially, personally, and of course in business. And so what I thought was, hey, right now in these tough times, you know, this can help make the world a better place. But in the future, when we return to some kind of normality, it can also still make your career, your business, and of course, your future relationships much more stronger as well, too.
Yeah, and this is important, I think, because I don't know if necessarily, I mean, you talked about going back to normal, right? And I don't know if we'll ever go back to normal per se. It might be a new normal, right, that you're referring to here. And it's so interesting because maybe the majority of everyone's clients, future audience are now half of them at home, right? So the question is, how do we do this? And in your case, you decide, you know what, I'm going to show up to serve virtually in front of, you know, 5,000 people or so. Like, and so how is it, because I'm kind of curious as far as your, Donald, how your experience have been, like, was it that when you were kind of speaking, did you feel like there was, how was it that you felt like you were able to stand out? Because I know a lot of people that I know who have done these virtual speaking gigs and all these things that they say, well, there's so many people, right? It's hard to stand out. And this can apply in business as well, right? Just off the virtual world. Like how do people stand out for you?
Well, one of the things that you'll notice that the people that really stand out in your own minds when they speak to you, they're the ones that resonate with you the most. So they probably can tell you situations, examples that relate to you, situations which you're familiar with. Maybe even, for example, stories. On the side of what I do as a hobby, I do stand-up comedy. Now, I know I don't look very comedian right now, but I have a very different outlook. But one of the things that you find in stand-up comedy is very similar, and that is some jokes will work one night and they will totally not work another night. And the reason why is because it really depends on the audience. So, you know, one time I told a joke, I said, hey, look, you know, I went to a restaurant one time and I asked for a steak to be made rare. And it came out, it was totally well done. So I asked the waitress, I said, hey, miss, ma'am, the steak is well done. And she goes, oh, thank you so much. Now that's okay for us over here, but if I went to a place where eating beef was illegal or banned, that joke probably wouldn't land as well, right? So you have to go and relate to what the audience is going through. And, you know, again, this goes back to empathy right there. In these days, you know, although we are parts at distance, we can still connect. And even virtually, we can always still empathize with each other.
Yeah, this is, and you brought up actually a really interesting point in that, like, one day it works, the other day it doesn't, right? How many entrepreneurs here feel like sometimes that's the case? Like, sometimes, you know, your posts are hitting, and some other days, like, your emails are not getting responses, and yet the same email the next week works totally, and you're just kind of like, what is going on here? And you just kind of go through this up and down. What I love about your story there, Donald, is that you really highlighted the essence of just kind of that having that presence in the empathy. It's not really about just this flat empathy just for the general year, but it's just kind of being in tune with your audience and where they are, right, and how they're feeling. So, which is so great. Now, and speaking of speaking, right, because that's kind of what we're talking about here with Donald. How did you create, did you feel like you had to create an engaging content? And if so, how can other people here learn about ways to create an engaging kind of message, whether that's by speaking or written or otherwise?
Everyone has a story. I truly believe in that. Everyone has a passion to have a story. When you tell something that's authentic, that's when people really feel it the most. Even if you're telling a joke, I mean, usually there's a formula for jokes, for example. I'm not sure if you heard the formula before, and that is tragedy plus time equals comedy. So something that you went through before, which is really tragic in your life, over time, if you tell it, it becomes funny to many people. But the reason why it's funny is because when you tell it, it's really coming from your heart. You really experience it from yourself. And so be authentic. Tell people what you really care about, what you really believe in. People will feel it, and especially in this virtual world nowadays, and even in future, if you're talking to people in person, they really feel it from your energy. So being yourself is one of the most important things, which I always say to people.
So what I love actually about what you just said, Donald, is that essentially you had taken this full spectrum of human emotions and everything that's complicated and beautiful about it and really just embraced it as part of the experience that you share with others, whether that's speaking in your case in front of thousands of people or in some other cases, perhaps with other people, you know, it's five people, right? And I think being able to embrace that and allowing people to access everything that you wanted to share and ways that you can serve them by accessing those full spectrum of emotions, I think is just not only really a great service to others, but also a great service to all of us, right? Who are maybe speaking or maybe sharing something important, sharing our skill set. I think this is something that we can definitely, definitely learn from. So I truly, truly appreciate you sharing this. Now, I do want to transition real quick to Barry and Kanisha Mann, who just started their business recently in taking photography, family photography, wedding photography. And what is surprising actually is that they kind of started out from unexpected circumstances. So I just want to dive right in here real quick. Barry and Kanisha, welcome. And what I absolutely love about your story is that you had created something that is something that is a little bit more, I think in a lot of people's cases, unplanned, right? But you kind of welcomed that. So tell us a little bit more about that experience.
Yeah, so I went to film school, had a photo and video background, and I distinctly remember we got married, we were sitting at the head table even, and we were like watching the photo and video team that we hired, yeah, kind of doing their thing. And I'm thinking like, yeah, I think we could do that. We could definitely do that. I think like not too long after our honeymoon, Kanisha just turned to me one day and she goes, so maybe we should start our own business. What do you think about that? And I'm like, yes, I love that. That's a great idea. And that's kind of like the very early, I guess.
Early stages of that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think just after getting married, I think something was just in us that we just knew that there was something more. And not that you know, people who don't have, you know, the regular 9-to-5 jobs that, you know, they don't probably sometimes think, you know, there's more to it than this, but there was just something that was missing. And I think we knew deep down that we were just such adventurous people that we just couldn't live that way. Like, we both had, you know, regular corporate jobs, and I just said to them, like, yeah, like, why don't you just go buy a camera? Like, it was like the most normal thing. Like, you know, they're not cheap things to buy. And I just said, just go buy it. Like, this is, it was a no question for us. Like, we knew there was more to it than what we were already doing. And then, you know, we had to obviously do it on the side for a little bit because, you know, being an entrepreneur is very difficult, you know, to pay the bills. So one day I really just pushed him and I said, like, I think it's time. Like, that initial step was so hard for us, I feel like, because, you know, we had just had our son and he's 2.5 now. And it was just so scary. And I think he was more scared. And I said, just do it. We just need to go. And we just need to just figure it out as we go. Because we had no plan. We had no idea what we were going to do with the camera. We just knew we wanted to use it. We were just like, okay, let's just figure it out as we go. Let's quit our jobs. I told him to quit. I remember it so distinctly. He was at work, and then the next week I was like, just quit. Just leave. We can do this. I know we can do it. Something in us, I knew we had like an ability to do something. I don't know how much we were going to make. I just knew we were going to pay bills somehow. So I think that's kind of how it started for us. And we still don't really know what we're doing. Like, we know we love what we do, but I feel like there's always, no, we know what we want to do, but it's just, there's always something else, I feel like. And things can change at any point, I feel, because one day maybe you like doing something and then the next day it can completely change. So I feel like for us, it's like we're always moving. It's always changing. We still know we want to be in film and everything, but...
Well, and I love that you're doing it together, which is kind of, I think most people, if you're faced with that kind of circumstance, it's likely that, you know, one person kind of went, oh, you know what, I'll just kind of keep my job. Maybe you do that, right? So I love that what you've done is actually, no, we're going to go into this together. And what's interesting is that when I see partners and spouses kind of do things together, a lot of times it worked beautifully and sometimes it doesn't, right? And maybe, of course, there's like good days and bad days, like when we were just talking. But what were some of the highlights so far that you remember from just working together? And it could be good things. It could be bad things. Like, what are some things that jump to mind as a husband and wife from running your business together?
I guess I can take it from there.
Sure.
So yeah, starting off with the good things for sure. Like, even just this year, like you were mentioning how a lot of people are doing more of the virtual, events. And we did a couple in the beginning of the year, right when COVID hit, because we had done some in-person events in the very, very beginning and we didn't want to stop. Like, we really enjoyed meeting new people. So for us this year, the highlights was just being more virtual. Like, we're not socially, you know, like social media friend. Like, we do it, but we prefer to be in person. So for us, that was a big thing to want to keep doing. So highlights for us for sure is like meeting new people. Like, a lot of people that we've met, like, have become good friends. But of course, like you said, like, there are good days and bad days. Like, we're not the same people. We have different interests. We have different opinions. So sometimes, like, in the very beginning, it was always about money. And I even said to him, like, this is what breaks people up. It's always the money. Like, you need to charge clients more for this. We're worth more than that. And it was always back and forth. And that was definitely something that we struggled with a bit, was just kind of coming to an agreement on, you know, like, money, because it is a big thing. Like, you have bills to pay, you have children, like, that is something that you will talk about all the time. So that's something that we still kind of, we talk a lot better about it, but there was, you know, some hardships in the beginning, for sure. But the one thing that always I think about is that the highlights for sure is doing things all the time together. Like, even if there's something that I can't physically be there for, like, I will virtually be there somehow. Like, I will be there with him. Like, we do everything together. And for us, it's made us stronger for sure. So highlights is just being able to be involved all the time with everything. So
this is, and I love actually that you've highlighted the fact that you're trying to be there for each other, right? And this is kind of going back to some of those examples of how people lean on other people. And it could be, in your example, your spouse, but in other cases, it could be another, like a partner, a colleague, or somebody in your space that you're kind of linking arms with to support each other and bring each other clients. And your underlining how just kind of keeping everyone in the loop really, really matters. I think this is kind of like the takeaway. I think when you kind of stop talking to each other, like that's really when things become really difficult, right? And so I'm kind of curious, kind of similar to what we were just talking about with Donald, and as far as sharing your message, right? In Donald's case, it's about speaking in front of other people. And in other people's cases, I know in the room had mentioned that they're on virtuals literally like 24/7. So since you guys are, you have this artistic touch and obviously technical touch as well behind the camera, for everyone who's here, who's listening and maybe thinking about their next webinar, their next time that they're on camera, or the next time that they speak in front of people, what are some maybe top one, two, three things that people can prepare perhaps to be, you know, maybe beyond camera ready, right? Not just kind of the outer things, but like what are some things that people can do to really elevate their presence and how they share their message to the world?
That's funny you actually mentioned that because, I feel like we're still so bottom. Like, we're just making our way. Like, we're just learning who we are. But just because we wanted to give back a little bit since COVID and people are making videos at home on their own with their cell phones, Barry was just sharing some tips of, like, you know, audio suggestions. Like, you can just get on Amazon. Like, you know, we want people to be our clients, but at the same time, people can use their phones nowadays. You don't need a professional camera. For us, it's more of giving people the confidence. I feel like our niche market is more helping people who've never been on camera before, because we like to train. We actually do spend a lot of time with clients in person over the phone, just giving them the confidence. Some of them are just like, no, I don't want to do this. They'll try to cancel the day of, and Barry will be like, no, you got this. Like, we can do this. So I feel like maybe we're kind of trying to find that market where it's people who aren't that comfortable, people who have no knowledge of on camera at all. So we give tips like, you know, make sure that what you're talking about is something you're actually passionate about. If you're going to sit there and talk about something that you've no idea what you're talking about, people are going to feel that energy and they're going to be like, no, I'm not going to watch this because this person doesn't even feel confident. They don't know what they're talking about. So we tell people, try to pick things to talk about that you have a passion for. Otherwise, why should they continue watching, right? So I feel like we do a lot of the motivational, and then Barry does a lot of the technical because he has more of the background. I don't know, some tips maybe that you were going to give people.
I love that you're...
I don't want to put you on the spot, but she asked. So.
Well, Kanisha, what you were talking about as far as speaking about what you're passionate about, what you love, like, I mean, I noticed that even if it's something that's personal, right, it matters. And I mean, I talk to dozens and dozens of people every week, you know, and I think that what I notice is definitely that theme that you had shared is when you're passionate about something, it really comes out. And not only are you, then you become the authority of what you're passionate about, you become kind of like this magnet. You have this absolute charisma, even if you are, again, like some other people maybe, and definitely a lot of people at Good Grow Great, like you're maybe a little bit introverted, a little bit shy. And, but yeah, to your point, it's so true that if you're enthusiastic about what you talk about, people can totally tell, and they love it. Donald in the chat just said, speak from the heart. The audience will feel it. They will remember you better, which is absolutely true. I remember who here has heard like some really great stuff, like even if it's movies or, you know, or just things that you see on TV, like sometimes things that you just kind of like, oh goodness, you know, you just scroll through, right? But there are things that just stuck with you. And to your point, Kanisha, I think it's about marrying the tools and the things that you care about, things that matter, right? Yeah. And taking the time to think about it and mm-hmm. think about what you want to talk about and what you want to show up to serve for. So it is absolutely true.
So Barry and Kanisha, thank you so much for sharing your story. I think what you're doing is absolutely fantastic. And I really, truly enjoy when I hear stories about how people lean in to things that they believe in, things that maybe a lot of people just ignore, you know, just kind of shelve and put away in the back burner and never really explore, only to find out years later that they go, maybe I should have done that, right? Or something. So what I love is that you didn't do all of those. you just kind of lean in and take on the risk and really just kind of embrace it as part of something that is truly meaningful, not just for other people, but obviously for you both. So many, many success and wonderful wishes going out to you from myself and everyone here, I'm sure. And so, yeah, absolutely continue to do the wonderful work that you're doing. I do want to bring Jessica Moak over to the microphone. And what I love about Jessica's story is that Jessica and her partner Evie started Exhale Movement. And this is essentially something that I think is absolutely phenomenal, because what they're doing is they're actually able to fuse multiple different disciplines at once. And it's not just essentially, you know, dance and movement, but you can kind of see that people participate in what they're creating, and they're coming from multiple different industries and discipline, which I think is absolutely fabulous. You know, people who are paddleboarding, people who are a lot more athletically inclined perhaps than me. And so I think this is absolutely phenomenal. So Jessica, welcome to the microphone and the podcast, obviously. So share with us a little bit about, you know, how you came about this whole concept, how you took time to inspire your clients in, I think, 50 plus different ways, which I think is great. So walk us through that process a little bit, Jessica.
Yeah. So when we started our company, we both have a background in just movement, dance, karate, yoga, aerials, all kinds of things to like nice. Combined. And so for us, we noticed in each and every studio we go to, there's a community. There's a community of people who are movers. I met you through Outdoor Women's Group, and that's like 40,000 women who are all outdoor enthusiasts, who enjoy hiking, biking, everything. And so we wanted to really just focus on sharing their stories and starting to bring together the people who are like us, who go to different studios but interact with different communities, because we all have something to share. And most of those people already do something cross-training wise or diverse within their own movement. And we just find a lot of value from sharing out more of what we have in common as a collective. And we feel like that's just really integral to who we are as a company. And it's just been a really positive experience to not only to meet people who we didn't even think we would meet yes. ever, people that we look up to, but just sharing that excitement with other people.
Yeah, this is so true. And I can definitely resonate with that. I think I love that you're interviewing all of them. And I think me personally, whenever I interview people and I learn from all these different people, I always learn something really new and something that I never would have expected, right? Like a business person would be sharing something and I learn some random thing about, you know, this other movie that actually would then gave me an idea for my podcast. And, so it's just like these cool things. What are some stories that where you've interviewed and chat with all these people in your community? And what are the ones that kind of stood out? Like who are some names that stood out for you?
Yeah. So, the two that stood out the most for us, they're two different. Our background is actually in pole dance. And so the two that stood out for us the most are a woman named Marlo Fiskin and another one named Marianne Crump. Marianne Crump's actually, she's been on Ellen and a couple other things. She's actually on France's Got Talent. Competing there, but she's not doing pole there. She's doing the hair hanging thing that you see at the circus sometimes.
Yeah.
So we didn't really expect when we reached out to them to hear back from either of them, and both of them were not only a yes, they were a very enthusiastic yes. And one of the main things we learned actually from Marianne Crump is that for her Instagram, because she is what I would describe as living, breathing art. When she posts things and posts videos, she'll only post a photo of a shape. And she does that purposefully because she wants people to come up with their own entry and exit to that shape. She mm. wants to see how creative they got to get where she got. And I thought that was actually really incredible. And it's a great way to share just how diverse getting to that same place can be.
Right. Actually, that's such a good point, because you see, and I don't know much about dancers and all, and these beautiful, beautiful art, obviously, but I notice, just even as like somebody who's watching and as somebody who's a customer, right, and just kind of watching things, a lot of times I notice that two, you know, different dancers maybe are given the same movements or series of movements, and then you end up with something completely different, right? Which is so breathtaking. And I think what's impressive is that, for me, the analogy is kind of like, you know, again, like businesses. You have, maybe your space is crowded or you feel like it's saturated, but it's not. It's saturated if you want to do it exactly the same way as other people, but you're you, and you're only, there's only one of you, right? So I love that you're doing all these story, what do you call those, storyboards?
Or is it? We call them movement stories.
Okay. Yeah. And you shot, and speaking of cameras, did you take pictures of them? Like, what was the process that you did that helped inspire, other people to come together?
Yeah, so we originally started doing it as blog posts, and we would just kind of Q&A and post it magazine style. We all live in a digital world. We want everything in 3 minutes or less. And so we decided, let's start doing this on Zoom. Everyone's home anyway. Everyone's using Zoom. So when we reach out, we still send the Q&A. Because we want to get those answers, and then we want to build on that and really like have more of a conversation and get a little bit more out of that. So that's what we tend to do on Zoom. And then from that, we do share the full story on YouTube for people who are excited to hear from these people. But then we take it and we soundbite it out and have shorter clips that can be that are a little more consumable, and those go on Instagram. And then our next step currently is actually transferring all of those into podcasts to go on Spotify. So
this is so cool.
That's step three.
Yeah, this is so cool, because what you're doing is that you're investing the time, right, to really get to know them. And while you're doing it, kind of like what we had shared, you're regenerating what you're already doing, which is also really cool. Why did you, just out of curiosity, what kind of brought you, why did you decide to, you and Evie together, to start this wonderful venture?
We were both trying to start different businesses, but within the same market. Mm-hmm. And both of us are just not entirely self-motivated. So we needed to be each other's accountability buddy. And it worked out that we were both kind of doing the same things in the same realm. And we both work at the same studio, and we had actually done a competition together. So we had to create choreography together. So we knew that we worked really well together. So we just kind of, and we're that weirdly good fit. She's very particular about things that I'm not very particular about. And so we balance each other out really well.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, Barry and Kenesha earlier, right? There's like this kind of complementary relationship. Yeah. And I love that this is one of the amplifiers that we were talking about, right? Just kind of being able to find support and be supported by other people. And beautifully, you've done this with Evie. Is she here today or no?
She's not. She left this one to me, because she's the one that does all the interviews. So
that's right. It's the yin and yang. I love it. This is amazing. All right. Thank you so much, Jessica, for sharing your story and for sharing how you invested your time in other people and in interviewing them and putting them in this like beautiful story, I guess, series or storyboard that you have. And it's about all of these, again, like doing things that can scale, but doing things in a very, very purposeful and strategic way in some ways, right? So thank you so much for sharing that story.
And so we have heard from Donald, we've heard from Barry, Kanisha, and Jessica, all from different backgrounds, different industries, different niches, different skill set, and different passions. But as you can see, they're all making extraordinary leaps, even just by using ordinary steps, right? And I think this is what's really, really beautiful about when I created this podcast, I really wanted it to be a source of encouragement and inspiration for people who often feel small, people who often feel like they're invisible or they're hidden because there are just a few steps and few connective tissues that are not present in their situation, right? And so I think the purpose of sharing everyone's stories here from Donald, Jessica, Barry, and Kanisha is essentially to give you guys, when you're listening, ideas, thoughts, right? Critical thinking about how you can either emulate or maybe adopt and adapt it to your own specific industry, work, mission, and social impact that you're trying to create in the lives that you're going to be impacting. So whatever it is that you're hearing here, obviously the best students that I've known, the best and most successful and most purposeful people that I know always take the time to really digest, deconstruct, and create something that works for them, because it's really, truly important for us to be able to do that. Be sure to hit that follow, subscribe, like, add, or collect button. Until next time, Growth Solvers, let's keep growing. Thank you.